We began 2019 with something that we called Jesus Week. In fact, I brought my little Jesus Week guidebook that we put together. I was just looking at it and just kind of being reminded of some of the things that God spoke to me at the beginning of the year. Now, I know that some of you, have come into Santa Maria Foursquare in 2019. You were not here for Jesus Week. But on your handout, right down at the bottom, you're going to see that there is actually a little place on our website where you can go back. You can look at some of the things that we did that particular week. Because Jesus Week is something you could do at any time. When you just say, Jesus, I just want to press in to you. But we began this year looking at what Jesus says are the five most important areas of our life. And so we turned to what Jesus said was the greatest commandment, where he talks about these five areas of our life. And we looked at that and we said, God, would you expose things in our hearts that we need to see? Do we just open our hearts and say, God, would you look in? Would you show us things that we need to know about ourselves? And we use these three words, and they're up there on the screen. We said, God, would you redeem any area of my life that has been broken? That's what God does. He comes alongside and will redeem things that have been broken in our past. And man, we have areas in our life that, well, hell has hated us and tried to just get after us and beat us up. And so we say, Jesus, would you redeem anything that has been broken? But more than that, we say, God, I want to realign things where I may have gotten off track. And my life verse, Hebrews 10:23, starts out by saying, let us hold unswervingly. Because we know that in life, there is a lot of opportunities to swerve. Come on, somebody. Right? There's a lot of opportunities to just kind of get off track. Like, man, I was going really well. I was headed in the right direction, but then life kind of threw a curveball and I just bailed and I just kind of got off track. So there's also the opportunity to say, God, I want to realign my life according to what your plans are for me. And then this third word we looked at is this word reignite. That anything has grown cold in my life, anything that is maybe just a little bit stale, that God, that you would reignite a passion, you would reignite a fire within my heart, that I would serve you with all that I am. So that's how we began the year. So this morning, what we're doing is instead of doing a year in review, we're going to do a life in review and say, God, we just want to take another deeper look at who we are, who you created us to be. And God, if there's anything you want to show us at the end of this year that would point us towards these things, redemption, realignment, or even reignition of new passions, God, we invite you to do that as we look to 2020. Sound good? So let's review what Jesus said and ask him to refresh these things in our hearts and remind us of what we need to know. So, there was a guy who was listening to Jesus, and this is captured in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. With somebody who was already someone who was very familiar with Scripture, he'd heard about Jesus, he'd heard that Jesus was this good teacher, and he said, man, I want to check this out. I want to hear what this guy has to say. So he came to hear Jesus, and he said, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus a question. He said, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Scholars tell us that in the Old Testament, and that was their scripture at that point, they didn't have the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there were 613 different commandments, different rules and regulations to follow to know that, hey, if we just follow these rules and regulations, we know that we are people who are walking in God's favor. We're walking within the boundaries that he created. So this guy is like, wow, I wonder what Jesus thinks is the most important, the greatest commandment. And in verse 29, Jesus responds to this man's question by saying, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Jesus took five different things and made them one. He said, these five things are actually the greatest commandment. And I love the things that Jesus wove into this, because I believe that these five things are actually the five facets or five areas of all human life. We could talk about any particular area of life, and we could find it through the lens of one of these five areas: heart, soul, mind, strength, and then our neighbors, our relationships around us. And so what Jesus did was so interesting and strategic, because he took these five things and he said, if you want to know what the greatest thing is, listen to how my life and God's life is reflected back through these five different areas in your life. These five things are actually one thing. And on your notes there, you're going to see that there's a little outline of a hand. And so we're going to use, and I think all of us will be helped by this, but I think the kids are going to dig this. So everybody got a handout, right? Okay. We're going to look at these five things and be reminded of what they are through our five fingers, because God gave us a reminder right here at the end of our hand, at the end of our arm, on our hand, what these five things are. You ready? Okay. Number one, everybody hold up your pointer finger and go ahead and put the slide up there. Heart. That's right. Heart is number one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. It is number one. The heart is the first thing. I believe that Jesus said this for a reason. That he put the heart, that these five things are not just kind of randomly put in a list. But the heart is the first area that we need to attend to when we think of, am I loving God with all of my heart? I believe our heart is like an internal navigation system. How many of you have a car that has one of those little kind of built-in little navigation systems into your dashboard? Anybody have one of those? Come on, wave at me. Am I the only one that has? Okay. So now I don't use that to set direction. I really don't. If I want to set the direction for where I'm going, I use my phone, right? I like type in to Google or to Waze, and I put in there like where I'm headed, because it kind of charts out the directions for me. I don't use that little navigation system on the screen on my dashboard for that. But I like to know where I am. Okay? I believe the heart is like that dashboard navigation system that shows me where I am, and it shows me true north. It gives me a picture of what is going on in my surroundings and lets me know where I am. We're going to be coming back and talking a little bit more about the heart in a couple of moments. The second area that Jesus said that we're to love him with all of who we are is our soul, okay? That's the second finger, and that's the middle finger. I call it the soul finger because it is longer than the others. It's different. It is unique. It is distinct. In fact, when we think about our life, and I think a lot about our physical life, our bodies, and you know, and what we can touch, but our soul is different. And even like our middle finger extends out longer, right, than the other fingers, our soul is who we are spiritually. Our soul is going to extend on beyond this physical life. Praise the Lord for that. Because you know what? Our bodies, well, they're not going to live forever. In fact, God's word tells us that when we get to heaven, we're going to get new bodies. And everybody over 50 said, yay, yay. Woo-hoo. Everybody under 50 like, I kind of like my body. What's wrong with my body? We're getting new bodies. But what will inhabit those new bodies? That, it's our soul. It's that inner core of who we are spiritually. And there's a spiritual aspect to who each of us are, that every person has a soul within them. And it sets us apart from animals. And it sets us apart from every other living thing on earth, that God has given us a soul, and we're to love God with all, not just of our heart, but of our with our soul. Okay, the next finger, okay, number three, here we go. Our mind is represented on this finger right here. What do we call this finger? The ring finger. Go ahead and put a ring on it. Come on, boom, there it is. We just put a ring on it. You can draw that ring in. Our mind is our chooser. It's where we make our choices. It's where we wrestle with thoughts. It's where we decide, what am I going to believe? It's our chooser. I like the mind being that ring finger, because guess what that ring represents? A choice that I've made. I have this ring on my finger. I put it on every morning, and every morning it's a reminder of a choice that I made over 32 years ago to marry this beautiful lady, and that the two would become one, and that's my wife, and she has a ring, and it reminds her, right, of this choice, this promise that we made to each other. This is our mind finger. It represents who we are mentally, where, again, where we wrestle through thoughts, we decide, what am I going to believe, and it's where we make our choices. If our heart is like that navigation screen right here, kind of pointing out where we are, right, the mind is more like punching it into Google and saying, I want to go there. It's a choice. This is the direction that I am setting for myself. And we do that in our mind. We make those choices about, where am I headed? Now, these three things, right? Heart, soul, and mind, those are like the inside or internal fingers, right? Then there's these other two that are external. Now, the pinky, okay, if you get down to the pinky, that is our strength. And you think, why would the pinky represent strength? That's the little finger. Did you know that doctors and occupational therapists say that if you lost your pinky, that the strength of your hand would be cut by at least 50%? Whoa. The pinky is actually a very strong part of our hand. And I believe the pinky represents our strength. It's everything that we do with our bodies, with who we are physically. So what I do, what I see, what I say, all of the different things that I choose to do with this body, am I loving God with all of my strength, or am I wasting my strength on things that matter very little, or maybe even hurt me or hurt others around me? But we are to love him with all of our strength. So what happens on the inside, in our heart, soul, and mind, and the decisions we make and the things we process there, this is where they become visible, right? We make choices internally, but they come out through our actions, through what we do with our body, right? Does that make sense? So with our strength, what we're choosing to do. Then the last one, some people say it's not a finger, but I think it's kind of finger-ish. It's our thumb. And that represents our neighbors. We're to love our neighbor even as ourself. This, I believe, represents all of our relationships, all of those who are around us. And again, this is an external finger. What happens on the inside in these first three fingers, heart, soul, mind, these get lived out both with the, you know, like when we said our strength and the choices that we make, what we say, what we do, all these external things. But Jesus was very emphatic in saying that it's not enough to worship God alone, that you must take your love for God and reflect it out in your relationships with those around you. You're to actually love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I love myself a whole lot. How about you, right? We're to love our neighbors in the same way. That the very things that God is forming inside of us are meant to be reflected out in our relationships with others. Here's what I love about what Jesus said here about the greatest commandment. When he was asked what the greatest commandment was, he didn't answer with a rule or a regulation, right? Well, be at church every Sunday, right? Get to synagogue, right? Every Sabbath. That's not what he said. He didn't like remind them of a rule. What he did is he emphasized a relationship. Isn't that good? It wasn't a rule or a regulation. He was highlighting a relationship. That the greatest commandment is to love. The greatest commandment is love. We are to love God with all we are. Heart, soul, mind, strength. And then we're to take that love and we're to let it pour out of our lives to the relationships that God has brought into our lives, all those around us, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, where we work, right, where we play, all these different places where we have relationship. And God says, what is happening inside has got to come out. I want to highlight just a couple of things, and then we're going to ask some questions of ourselves at the end of this year. In these couple of areas, they're in your notes. I just want to give you a couple of examples of why I believe these are so important, these five. I just want to highlight two of them. Number one, the heart. I believe the heart is like a thermometer. And it's why I believe that Jesus said that we're to love God with all of our heart first. What does a thermometer do? Do we have somebody who is under 20 years old that can tell me what a thermometer does? What does a thermometer do? Sometimes they'll put one under your tongue to see what's going on inside of you. What does a thermometer do? It checks your temperature. That's right. A thermometer doesn't change the temperature, right? It actually tells you what is going on in your environment. It tells you where you're at. Like, oh, you're a little warm. Or, oh, you are really cold. Right? The thermometer doesn't change the temperature, but it reflects. It tells us something about what's going on in our lives. I believe that's why Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart. And he said it first because it's a gauge. It helps us to know where we are, like that navigation screen on our dashboard. It's not telling us where we're going. I could turn to the left or right, but it's always going to remind me and show me what's going on. When we think about these different five areas of our lives, each one of those can significantly be damaged. Any one of those five areas can really, either through pain, sin, brokenness, any one of those five can really be at a bad place. In fact, I think if we were all really honest with ourselves and we look at, wow, that's who I am, that's the totality of my being, those five things, if we were really honest, we would say, man, there's one or two of those that are suffering a bit right now. Maybe we think of the area of our finances, right? And we're like, wow, well, that's a physical issue. That's a strength issue in our life. It's a physical thing. And maybe it's suffering. And when our finances are hurting, guess what? Our heart tells us so. Our heart will remind us of that. Or if we lose a friend, right, which is a relational issue. Man, when we lose a friend, our hearts are sad. But guess what? If we make a new friend, our hearts are happy. Because our hearts will reflect where we are in these other four areas. Pete Scazzaro, in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, takes a great amount of time helping us get in tune with our hearts. As a church, we've embraced EHS, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, as part of our discipleship pathway as a church. Many of you in 2019 took EHS, the EHS class. We're going to be offering it again this spring. If you have not yet taken that class, we want everybody in our church family to at least one time go through EHS because of this very thing. It helps us to get in touch with the thermometer of our life and to say, God, would you help me understand how I can listen to my heart? And how are you're leading me even through my emotions to help gauge what's going on in all the other areas of my life. Now, our mind is different. Our mind is not like a thermometer. It is like a thermostat. Because where our heart is like a thermometer, it tells us where we are. It's a gauge. Our minds are like thermostats. It is in our mind we choose. Am I dialing it up or am I dialing it down? Am I turning to the left? Am I turning to the right? Or am I maintaining course? It gives us the direction that we are headed because it is our chooser, right? That ring finger reminds us, it's my choice. This is where I make my choices. And so what is going on in our minds is so very important. I believe it's why Paul said we need to take every thought, everything that's going on up here in our mind, we need to take it captive, right? And give it over to the Lord because there is so much that can be going on in our mind that is either helpful or unhelpful. There are a lot of voices that are competing for room in our minds. There are friends' voices. There's voices we get through entertainment. There are voices we get through advertisements. We were talking the other day about the funny little commercial that Mercedes put on at during Christmas of the kid that captures Santa, the photo. Did you see that one? Woo! It was hilarious. Mercedes spent millions of dollars to compete for space in our brains. And Kaylin was saying, well, that would not make me buy a Mercedes. I said, well, here we are, days after Christmas, still talking about Mercedes, right? Because they made a funny commercial. What do commercials do? It is fighting and trying to pay for space in our brains. There's all this competing voices. Social media. Is it good or is it bad? Well, it is a voice that is competing for space in our minds. We have to be very careful about what we let in because what we let in is like brain food. So what are we meditating on? What are we thinking upon that helps us in our choosing processes, the choices that we have that are ahead of us? So God has given us three things that I believe that would be really helpful to remember as we go into 2020 that are really healthy brain food. things for our minds that are going to help us as we make our choices headed into the future. You ready? Three things. Space in your notes there. Number one is the Word. The Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. One of the things that I did in this last year is I spent the most money I've ever spent on an app for my phone, and it's a software called Dwell. It's really expensive, but I've loved it because it is putting scripture to just the most beautiful vocalization. And there's this one lady from South Africa who reads scripture, and I could just listen to her read scripture all day long. It's awesome. It has this custom music that you can kind of customize, like behind the voice. And man, I've just been going through scripture. I'm in Exodus right now, and it's just so cool having a different way to put God's word in my mind, because it is the very best kind of brain food. God has spoken to us. And do you know that his words are captured in written form? And at any time we want, we can say, God, what are you speaking to me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to forget? What are things that are important and non-important in my life? And he tells us, and they're written down in his word. We need to be feeding on God's word. Man, Mikey, did you get a new Bible for Christmas? Here, bring it up really quick. I want to see it, man. Come here. Bring that Bible up here. Man, I'm so proud of the Renterias because for Christmas, you know what they did? They got this boy his very own Bible with a racing stripe on it. I saw this morning. That is the coolest thing. And that racing stripe, that's a reminder. Man, read. Read fast. Read every day. Get it in you. Okay. Thank you, Mikey. Good. We need to be like Mikey. We need to be people of the word. We need to be people, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether it's the first time we've ever opened the scripture and say, what does God say? Or maybe there are some here today, and you've read the Bible through a dozen times, and it's like, man, I don't know if God has more for me here. God has more. It's brain food. It is so helpful and useful in our lives. Paul said it this way to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, he says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, like I said, there are so many voices competing for space in our minds. How do we know it's true? How do we know it's wrong? Guess what? God's word is going to guide us in that process of realizing what's true and what's wrong, what is helpful and what is unhelpful. Man, in 2020, as we look ahead and we want to make good decisions with our lives, for ourselves, for our families, for the people around us, can we commit to say, God, we want to grow as people of your word? Man, if it's brain food, I want to eat it up and let it go down deep into my life, to every part of who I am. The second thing that God has given us is he has given us not only the word, but he's also given us his spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how is the Holy Spirit brain food? Well, because guess what? The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Jesus said this several different ways, but in John 14, 26, he said it this way. He said, well, when the Father sends the advocate, and I love that word, advocate, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's the one who fights for you. He's the one that comes alongside, standing with you. He is in your corner. God is on your side. And he reminds us that by the presence of his Holy Spirit. He says, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. Everything, God? Yes, he says, I'm going to tell you everything that you need in the moment you need it. I'm going to be there because I'm in your side and like a coach in the corner of your ring shouting out, duck, jab, now, attack. He is in our corner leading us and guiding us. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Amen. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, it's not just like having Jesus with us at all times. It is having Jesus with us at all times. Did you catch that? It's not like having Jesus with you. The Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of Jesus. It is Jesus walking alongside of us, animating our lives, empowering us, showing us what we need to know right in the moment. How'd you like to feed on that kind of brain food? God, lead me. Show me. I'm pressing into you, God. I want to love you with all that I am so nothing would cloud my understanding of how you are leading me. So he's given us his word. He's given us a spirit. But then check this out. He's also given us others to walk alongside of. That we're not to walk alone. There are no Lone Ranger disciples. You know what? And it happens sometimes as a pastor. I'll hear about someone who's kind of like stepped outside of fellowship in the church, and someone reaches out to them and they say, well, you know, I'm just kind of reading my Bible and doing my own thing. And hey, there is nowhere in Scripture that we see or are instructed to do this life of faith alone. In fact, I think that's why Jesus was so adamant about saying, it's not enough that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and even your strength. We need to figure out how to embrace others around us with God's love. We need that. We need that support. We need that encouragement. We need others to come alongside of us to say, hey, these areas in your life, man, this one's doing great. Man, you're doing so well over here. But do you realize that in this area, man, maybe there's some struggles that you need help with. Can I help you in this area? We need people to come alongside of us to help strengthen us in areas where we're not strong. I think one of the most powerful places that this is stated is in the first two verses of Romans. But it takes a bit of humility to read this. Can you be humble for a moment? Can we put on our cloak of humility and listen to what Paul says here in the first two verses of Romans 15? He says, now those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized, for they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right and good for them and to bring them into spiritual maturity. Here's why it takes humility to read that scripture, is to realize that there are often times when I'm not the one whose maturity is easily on display. Sometimes I'm the one who's immature and needs help, who needs to invite in other people to come and walk alongside of me to help strengthen areas where I'm not strong in one of, or two of, or three of these areas. I need people to walk alongside of me because my goal is that I would be one of these mature people. That's my goal. But I have to be honest and look in the mirror and recognize I'm sometimes one of those immature people. And I have things that I'm struggling through and working through. When I reflected on my little journal from the beginning of the year, there's some cool things in here. Because what we did is we took one day to reflect on each of these five areas: heart, soul, mind, strength, and relationships. And I've been reminded a few times, more than a few times, especially over these past months, about something that God was speaking to me about at the beginning of the year that I don't think I'm all the way walking in maturity in quite yet. And in a personal reflection I wrote in the first week of 2019, it was in the area dealing with my strength. And I said, the area of my strength I consistently struggle with is my rest. I acknowledge my brokenness in this big area. I give in to the seductive voice that beckons me to do one more thing rather than to rest. When it knocks, I consistently run to the door and let it in. And it saps my energy, steals my edge, robbing me of the ability to bring glory to God in my personal life and through my relationships. Then I wrote this: I become grumpy and short with people, failing to give space for the fruit of the Spirit to be consistently alive and present in and through me. Do you know that I started 2019 doing pretty well in this area of rest? And I made a commitment when I answered the question in this little reflection saying, so what am I going to do about it? One of the things that I said is, well, I'm going to invite a couple of my brothers to walk alongside of me on this journey. And they've asked me at times during the year, how you doing? How you doing? Because one of the things I put in here is that I'm going to turn off my computer and my phone at 10 p.m. And you go, 10 p.m., man, I'm in bed by 8. Well, for me, when I keep my phone and my computer on past 10 p.m., oftentimes now it's 12, 12:30, 1, 1:30, And it saps my energy. It saps my ability to lead strong. It saps my ability to be filled with a need for sleep rather than a need for just the fruit of the Spirit to be flowing in and through my life. And so I am sharing this with you, my church family, because evidently I need more accountability in this area of my life. And here's something I've discovered. You may have heard me say this if you've ended up chatting with me in my office at some point. But my mind is often brought back to Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus talks in this parable about the four different types of soil. Do you remember that parable? That there's a sower that goes out throwing seed all over, kind of indiscriminately, the way God does. He like will give his love and his gospel, his grace to everyone. But he said that falls on four different kinds of soil and it represents our hearts. There's hard soil. It's like the packed down pathway in the garden, right? Nothing of God gets in because it's just hard packed. There's a second type of soil Jesus talks about. It's the rocky soil, right? God's word, his grace, his love comes, and it says that it actually like springs up really quick. The seed germinates, like the sends out a little leaf, but because there's issues, there's rocks down in that soil, the roots have nowhere to go. So no root, no fruit. And so that plant quickly dies because of the rocks in the soil. There's a third type of soil. It's the weedy soil. And again, man, when the things of God hit that soil, it springs up quick. It's like, oh, this is so good. Jesus loves me. He forgives me. This is wonderful. And so we respond quickly and we respond in joy, but there's weeds in the soil as well. And what it says is that those weeds just choke out the goodness of the Lord. It just chokes out everything that God has given us. And what ends up happening? No roots can go down in because it's choked out by the weeds. No root. No fruit. We end up having a fruitless life. But then there's a fourth kind of soil. And it's the one that we all long for. And it's the one we say, oh man, this is the soil of my life. This is what I want the soil of my life to be. And it's the good soil. It's not hard packed. It allows in the things of the Lord. It's the rocks have found their way out of the soil of that person's life. The weeds have been taken out. It's good, healthy soil. It's the only soil that the roots can go down deep and in time bear really good fruit. It's the good soil. But this is what I've discovered for my own life, and I've seen it over and over again in the lives of many people. We think that it is our responsibility to till our own garden. And in some ways it's true, because we do have to take responsibility for our own junk. I need to be someone who says, yep, there's some rocks, there's some weeds, there's some things in my life that are not creating a good soil environment. I do need to take responsibility. But here's what I found. Usually, to get to the place of good soil in my life, I was not the only gardener. That there's other trusted people that have the dirt of my life under their fingernails. Who do you trust to get their hands dirty in the soil of your life? Who do you trust to say, hey, would you take a look at this part of my story? Would you see this area of pain or this area of addiction or this area of whatever it might be that is a rock or a weed or a hard spot and say, hey, would you come and partner with me in seeing this turn into good ground? Because here is what I am convinced of, that Jesus would not have told that story if it wasn't possible for any person to turn their story around and for the garden of their life to become rich and good and fruitful, no matter what has happened in the past. I believe that there's that possibility. But what I have found is that even though I need to take responsibility for my garden, how do we know who to invite into our lives? And say, hey, would you put your hands down into the soil of my life? I think this is a pretty good scripture to look at. Because we want to find people whose maturity in their faith can be easily recognized. So we don't turn to like TV psychologists, right? I don't know if they're spiritually mature or not. I want to find people who it's easy to recognize the maturity of the faith that they have. Guess how I know that? Because I walk alongside of them. They're actually people in this room. People that I can trust because of the maturity of their faith that is easily recognized. How do I recognize it? Because they're not just living for themselves. Right? That's what it says. It says their faith can be easily recognized, for they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently embrace people like me, the immature. Thank God for people like my father-in-law. Hi, Jim. He is one of the most patient people I know whose faith is, and his maturity in his faith is easily recognized, because he doesn't live for himself. He lives for others. And for decades, sir, you have walked alongside hundreds and hundreds of people who are struggling through places of immaturity. And that is to be recognized and honored. I'm so grateful to have you in my life and in my family's life. And we want to find people whose goal is to empower others. Not to ruin their lives, not to say, well, you're a terrible person because of this or that or this area of brokenness, but actually people who will walk alongside of us in order to empower, to encourage, to help us grow, to be fruitful people and spiritually mature people in every way. Who are you going to invite in to get their hands dirty in the soil of your life? Now, we've got some really cool people on our staff. We've got some neat pastors. But beyond that, man, we've got a whole crew of really strong men and women of the Lord who fit this description. If you don't know one of them, I'd be happy to introduce you. I'd be happy to say, man, if you talk to this person over here. Just last Sunday, I was able to do that and say, hey, have you guys met? Because I think your story and your story would be really cool if you guys hung out and were able to talk about life, about freedom, about getting rid of the rocks and the weeds to get to that healthy place. So at the bottom of your notes there, four questions. Where have I grown this past year? What, when I look back at and say, man, this is an area that, man, God was speaking to me and I can actually see some traction. My heart has grown softer. And maybe this rock, man, I've been really doing well at seeing that stay out of my life for those weeds. Where have I grown? Number two, are there things that were broken this past year that still need my attention? I think that's why God drew me back to what I had written and journaled back the first week of 2019. Are there things that are undone? Things that still need my attention? Is there a promise that you made that is yet to be fulfilled? Is there a lie that you told that needs to be corrected? Is there an addiction that was growing where you need to find freedom? Is there something you borrowed that needs to be returned? Just pondering, God, would you show me things from 2019? Or maybe there was some brokenness that I need to fix that. Why is that so important? Because to start something strong, you need to finish strong. To start strong, you need to finish strong. And guess what? We've got a couple more days in 2019 to redeem, to realign, to reignite, to say, God, man, I want to go into 2020 strong. So take a couple of days to allow the Lord to highlight to you anything that may need fixing. Number three, are there areas in my life that God is reminding me to strengthen in the new year? Maybe there is some area where God's saying, I really want to help you grow in this new area. Maybe your life is already like good soil, and he's saying, I want some new fruit to come out of this life of yours. You've put down roots, now it's time to bear fruit in this new area. What is God saying for you for 2020? And then number four, who am I inviting to get their hands dirty in the soil of my life? At the end of 2020, who's going to have some Tim dirt under their fingernails, right? People who I open up to, who I'm real with, who I'm blunt and authentic with, just about the things that I'm dealing with or confronting or wanting to grow in, and allow other people to come along and help with the cultivation of my life.